Welcome to Podcasts and Portraits, Reflections of Women Over 40. I am your host and photographer, Arian Jasky. Get ready for heartfelt conversations, candid revelations, and inspiring tales that celebrate the beauty and resilience found in each of my guests' unique story. Discover the power and depth of women over 40 as they reflect on their unparalleled paths and the wisdom they've gathered along the way. This is Podcasts and Portraits Season 1, Episode 1 with my guest, Nafisa Shireen. Today is quite an inspiring story, and it's based off of your life journey. So I don't know if you want to start at the beginning or if you want to start in the middle. I guess first, tell me what you do.
Okay. So I would consider myself to be a non-business coach. I work with women entrepreneurs, women leaders to help them self-actualize, make more money, you know, make money doing what they love. But what makes it unique is I work with horses as well in that. And so we work with my herd of horses on my ranch to help them work on some of the self-development piece that is underlying all the strategies that they need to put into place. So, because you can, your strategies don't work if you're not going to implement them. And most of the time people don't implement because of what's going on in their head. So
yeah.
We work through whatever might be holding them back, limiting beliefs, clarity, going after their purpose, boundaries, energetic communication, nonverbal communication. And a lot of that is done with the horses.
That is incredible. So you don't actually ride these horses at your stable.
Not officially, no.
You work with them, and you have people work with them.
One of my horses is ridden, and that's only for me. Other people don't ride them. But out of all the horses, we've had 14 come through the farm at this point through different.
Wow.
I don't board, but I do let some of my friends, when I have extra space, use the space.
Yeah.
And most of them have been non-rideable.
And yet they're still fully capable of helping and supporting humans.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. And people assume that most horses are just, well, they're meant for riding. And if they're not riding, but you've taken it to another level where that is a part of the human connection.
Well, I had my paddocks redone a few years ago, and the contractor that was there, he also had, he was doing the gravel and everything, but he also had race horses. And he just said to me, "You don't ride any of these horses, then why do you have them?"
Oh, yeah.
If you're not going to use them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what most people think.
We don't use them. Work with them. Partner with them.
And yeah.
They have a lot to offer because they can't be ridden anymore. In the case of my mare, who's a rescue, she can't be ridden at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pony. Obviously, I was not going to sit on a pony. but they had a lot of value.
Yeah.
To me, just personally, and to the people they work with, and just even for within themselves, to be able to live like horses, to have a purpose in their own life other than just satisfying.
They're majestic creatures.
Yes.
I mean, we used to, you know, drive past horses with kids and horse, you have to look. Like, there's something so majestic about them. And anybody who's a horse person is just, they love their horses more than anything in the world.
Yes.
And I think that you found that, the beauty in that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get led to this? Before you even tell me, what is the name of your ranch itself?
So the ranch is Believe and See Ranch.
Believe and See Ranch.
Yeah. That's not my business, but
yeah.
That's the name of the ranch.
That's the name of the ranch.
When you have a farm, you name it. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me, the name came from the fact that I had wanted this for so long, and because of the work I do in belief change and everything like that, I had to believe it before I would see it. And
mm-hmm.
So that was sort of... I had a couple of names, and so that one resonated a lot, and the URL was available too. So
I like it. I just let it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's all about my journey to get there, and it's about transformation. So that's what the ranch is for. And now my journey to get there is very surprising because if you had told me this, you know, 10 years ago that I would be living with four horses, I would have been laughing at you.
Oh.
And so would all the people that known me with my horse, because I was too scared to handle my own horse by myself.
Yeah. Wow.
And yet, but I still had this desire to have a farm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
And so I pursued that. And I had left my corporate career. I had a long corporate career that I left at 40 and did my first life change at that point. And then I was working as a coach, and I built up my coaching business, but I also had a horse, and my horse was with me when I was in corporate. He was with me through my coaching career, and like I said, I was scared of him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's very interesting that this is something that you, something that was meant to be for you, but you were scared of it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I had to change so much to be able to work with him, to be the person he needed. Mm-hmm. I was ready to, because I shared him with somebody else, and then she went and got her own horse, and she, this is really funny, and if she's listening, she probably, I don't think I've ever actually told her this story, because I was about to say to her, like, I'd made the decision that I can't do this. I'm not qualified as a horse person. Mm-hmm. She can have him.
Yeah.
And I was getting the courage, working up the courage to have this conversation with her, and then she contacted me. She goes, hey, I need to talk to you about something.
Oh, yeah?
And she let me know she was getting her own horse, and I was like,
wow.
Oh,
oh boy.
Now what?
Now you're stuck.
Totally. And so, but because he'd been passed around quite a bit, I just didn't have the heart to
give it up. Give him up.
And so I had to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I had to overcome my fears.
Yeah.
I had to find different coaches in the horse world, like different mm-hmm. equine coaches that could mm-hmm. align with how I felt, that helped me see things differently.
Yeah.
And it forced me so much out of my comfort zone, mm-hmm. emotionally, physically, mm-hmm. Technical skills wise. And that ripple affected into every part of my life. And then I had started to hear a little bit about this thing called equine facilitated coaching. I went,
right.
What is that?
Yeah. Well, what is that? What is that?
I was in a coaching program as a client, and one of the ladies in the program did this kind of work. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't, like, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And she actually could never explain it to me, which was really quite interesting. And so
it doesn't have a black and white answer. That's why, right? I guess it's...
It was... started to be more through my own experience, and I started reading books, and the book that changed my life was by Linda Kawanov. It was called Riding Between the Worlds, which was a very profound book,
mm-hmm.
and it talks
mm-hmm.
about her connection to the other world,
mm-hmm.
and to the spirit world, mm-hmm. and to the horse spirits.
Oh.
So it was a pretty deep read, like, and for me, because I was pretty left brain at that time, and but it was really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, you wanted the science behind it. You didn't want the foofy. You're like, well, what is it? Tell me. Yeah.
But it felt foofy. That's a word people sometimes will use to describe this work, but it's actually not. There is a science.
Yeah.
And there is a spiritual side to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But as I was going through that book and she was describing some of the things that was happening with her clients, mm-hmm. I was seeing this happening in real time. So I started mm-hmm. to get interested in this work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and got my certification in it. And I was still a little scared. I wanted a farm. I wanted a ranch. I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And I could not explain it.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
And everybody thought I was nuts.
Do you know why you were scared of your horse? Like what? Like I know I'm kind of...
Because he's big.
It's just because he's big.
He's big.
Yeah.
He's big. And horses jump. And they
they're unpredictable.
They're
a little
they
bit.
They can be.
Yeah, they can
and
be.
I didn't have the skills to handle him or lunge him or do all the things. And at that time, all I knew, like you said, it was you rode the horse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
not an athlete. I'm not mm-hmm. a strong rider. I mm-hmm. was afraid of falling off.
Yeah.
And so outside of that, I didn't know what else there was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I still wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And that was my intro into there's so much more to horses than just riding them.
Yeah.
And then I started looking for a farm.
Yeah.
And we almost moved to Salt Spring Island.
That'd be nice too.
We had an offering on a place, had all the inspections, but two failed septic fields, which is a little bit much.
Oh.
So we pulled. And then as soon as we pulled our offer, the place I'm in now came up. So we made another offer.
Oh, wow. So you loved horses, but you were scared of them. And then you built what you built now. But what about before that? What was your journey to get to that point? To even, like you said, you worked in a corporate world.
Yes. I'm a recovering CGA.
Mm-hmm. You're recovering.
I think
most of them say that, anybody that leaves that industry.
I guess they're CPA now, but mm-hmm. I left before they merged with the CPA.
Yeah.
Everybody who's listening wants to be technical about it. But I had started my career working, accounts payable, working for entrepreneurs, working in construction, working in, I don't know if you remember Storium, that big tourist attraction that was in downtown Vancouver.
I do remember,
I was part of the startup
team
there.
Oh, wow.
So that was construction and creativity.
Yeah,
Then I ended up in mining once I got my certification.
Yeah.
I went to school at night for 10 years.
Yeah.
While I was working full time.
Oh, gosh.
And, I worked my way up in my corporate career. I ended up being vice president at a copper mining company.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was tired of it.
What do you do at the ranch? You were saying there's no answer to what is equine
Equine facilitator. There is an answer.
So what is that? Yeah. Okay. So what? So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what do you do there?
Equine facilitator. Learning.
Equine, and that kind of means horses, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, I mean, you think of the equid species, so like donkeys and horses and stuff kind of come under equid. So equine would be horses.
Equine. Yeah.
So this work is really, it's a very kinesthetic kind of work, and horses are, like, the science behind it is that they're prey animals. Mm-hmm. So they're very in tune to our energy, our nonverbal communication, if you are not congruent. So if, you know, because as humans, we have a really incredible talent that no other creature has. That is to be saying one thing with our lips and a completely different
thing. Right.
They read your body.
Not your lips. They don't know.
It really helps people to understand their effectiveness. And there's two ways to work with them. One is in reflective sessions. And that is where we really tap into our parasympathetic nervous system. The HeartMath Institute's done research on it, where the horses help us get our heart rate variability into a more coherent, like a heart coherence. We get into our most relaxed state. When we're our most relaxed, mm-hmm. that's when all those ideas we've pushed down come up. Like, we tap into our subconscious.
It's like meditative, right? That's why they kind of get you into that state of...
In that state. And then there's the active exercises, where you learn so much about yourself, and they kind of close that gap between how we think we're coming across and how we actually are being received by other people. And if you think about it, like, even myself as a coach, if somebody hires me, I have an agenda. It's a good agenda. Yeah. I want to help them. Everything's coming from that lens. Someone has none. They don't care if they help you. They are just coming across as honest in the moment. They live in the moment. And so...
Almost like children.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
But even more so because they don't have words.
Right.
But even kids do have an agenda, right? Yeah. They're thinking of something they want to get.
Right. Yeah.
The horse is just reacting.
Yeah.
And so whether it's leadership or boundaries or teamwork or communication, you learn so much about your effectiveness working with these horses and your leadership. And the feedback you get from them is... people are much more open to it because it's safe, because you don't have another human judgment.
Yeah, yeah, no judgment. It's just, and you look into those eyes of any horse and it is like looking into the little, like, the world. I don't know, it's like looking into a soul, you know? It's
And that would be some of the reflective work.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about some of the leadership work. So if we were to have a horse in this room and I were to say to you, okay, Arian, you need to make him go from there to there. Mm-hmm. Without tripping over anything, and then turn around and come to you, and you can't touch him.
Oh, yeah.
You can't lead him. You can't put a rope on him. You just have to communicate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's hard.
It's entirely possible.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
And the horse is just going to respond.
So you want them to kind of like trust you enough to follow you? Is that the idea kind of thing? Or like
sometimes they're not even going to follow you. Yeah. Sometimes you're just going to point and tell them where to go.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all about this energetic piece and this energetic communication.
Yeah.
Are they feeling safe with you?
Yeah.
Are you communicating properly?
Yeah.
Is your body communicating what your mind is wanting to do? You've probably heard it said before that, you know, the body is the subconscious mind, right? Mm-hmm. It shows through. So a really good, this is simple, and it's hard to, you have to experience it in some ways, but if you want to, like a tactile example, if, let's say we were working out a plan for you and you put your goals down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want you to lose your train of thought, but who would benefit from this kind of facilitated coaching or training?
Well, I mean, I think everybody does.
Everybody,
Because whether it's for, I work primarily with entrepreneurs and business leaders in terms of those goals.
Okay.
But anybody that has a life goal, whether it's a relationship, whether it is for business. I mean, I don't do relationship coaching, right?
It can guide you to
the people that have trauma.
Open you up.
That's why they have the therapy aspect of it, right? I don't do the therapy.
Yeah.
So, I feel everybody deserves to be cracked by a horse. Mm-hmm. I just happen to work with it in this particular area.
Right.
So what I was saying about the goals, like if you wrote down a goal and you said, okay, I'm going to triple my income next year or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's always good.
You probably won't believe it, but you'll think you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'll have you do is just tell me everything you're going to do while you're walking the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And your body, if you don't believe it, is going to, your body will say
it'll
you
show.
Don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And for a horse to follow you, this is where the science is. You need to be confident. Your body has to be strong. It's not that they're reading your mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing you just...
the energy and everything. Yeah. Interesting.
I had a client one time. We had a workshop, and it was just a simple obstacle course that they were taking the horses through. And this one client, she was really determined to just do the obstacle course. And I'm watching, and she's kind of almost dragging the horse.
Yeah.
And he's like swishing his
tail. Yeah.
And so that for me as a facilitator is where I can go, hey, so what's going on with you?
Yeah.
That horse is pretty ticked off right now.
It's not wanting to follow you or go with you.
And she stops. She's like, you know what? I'm really angry right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know that I was carrying this anger. And so then we were able to sort of talk and work through that. But she was, the thing is, there was nothing any of us people would have picked up on it because she had masked it so
well. Yeah.
Oh. We all put those masks on.
That's a huge, huge, huge thing because I do think that, you know, I see women all the time in business. I see the most happy, chipper, amazing, successful women. And then we go for coffee or we talk and there's so much more. There's so much more they hide that no one would even pick up on.
But they
do
pick up on it. That's the thing.
The horses.
No, the humans.
The humans do.
But subconsciously, you just know something's off.
Oh, yeah. We trust our gut, right? That's our kind of.
But you can't put a word to it.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
Is trying really hard to be effective in their business or their leadership, mm-hmm. and they're doing all the right things, and people aren't responding, that's because there's something off.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're dishonest. It doesn't mean that they're trying to pull the wool over their eyes.
Yeah.
They're not congruent.
Yeah.
And confronting that person to person can feel threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when somebody is with a horse and they see it, they're a lot more receptive to it.
Just incredible.
And if you think about it, you know, in this day and age, I mean, here we are sitting in a studio. We are so used to having all these electronics, really staying in our brain, using our mental faculties to decide things like, okay, I need to be like this, that. But our primary sensor is our body. There is a nanosecond of timing difference between the time our body walks into a space and picks something up until our brain processes it. And our brain has been taught to disregard those body feelings.
Oh, yeah.
And nature is one way to get back into it. And horses are not going to care what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
They're not going to care what's going on in your body. So you start to learn to trust those senses a lot as well. It's just such a transformational way to learn about yourself. There's a lot of modalities where you can work on your beliefs. You can work on your leadership. You can work on your energy management. You can work on your nonverbal communication. And for me, I just personally think horses are the best way because you get an answer like that.
Yeah.
And it's safe. It's emotional.
Oh, this is making me want to try this so much. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that I get to talk to you because I feel like I'm probably like a lot of people who really don't know much about it. And also, I thought it was more for like trauma-based kind of therapy and stuff. And it can be. But you do the business side.
Yeah.
And I like that you're like, you know, you walk into a room and you feel the energy and your brain is telling you, it's maybe telling you to get out, but your body's telling you to get out and your brain's like, you can deal with this. You can do this or vice versa or whatever. And that goes through the whole business aspect of leaders and what are you, and there's so many people that I talk to, not just women, but men, anyone that don't know what's going on in their business. They're like, I am manifesting. I am saying, I am writing in my diary every day. I think that everybody actually knows what it is. And I feel like they don't want to admit it or they just haven't. It's just like almost, it's just around the, around the corner. And I think what an incredible thing to offer.
And there's a piece to it if you were to break it down and you think, okay, so if it was just one person, but also a lot of stuff we'll sometimes do in groups, but if you just have the person and the horse and you can ask them to also be reflective of what's going on. So because they'll have the session with the horse and then they'll come in, you know, we'll talk about it, but what is going on with you? What is going on with the horse? What is going on between you? And what is going on around you?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't just apply to being with the horses. That's a way to start looking at things. And they do that. Now, when we have more people there, they also learn a lot by observing that being part of the activity.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a twofold learning, and it just helps you to develop those body senses to be aware.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that is. I mean, even right now, I'm thinking of all the uses and all the things that that we talk about with people that they're just unable to get past business-wise. What an incredible, my mind is blown right now because I knew kind of what you were doing and a little bit, I thought I did. But now when the way you're telling me is just like, it's going into my head and saying, oh, this is good. This is good stuff.
It is. And it's different for every person.
Yeah.
It's different with every horse.
Absolutely.
So if somebody were to come to me and say, should I do, like, let's say there's somebody doing the same thing I am. Should I do yours or theirs? I'd be like, both.
Yeah. You're going to get something different out of it.
Because they're going to pick up on something different.
Yeah.
And we had one, we'll sometimes do boundary workshops. And it's a very simple exercise where you put a bowl of cookies in the middle of the arena.
Yeah.
And the people have to keep the horse from
eating the cookies.
Like, within reason. Like, they get their cookie after, right? And it's amazing to see how that same horse will react every different.
Oh, yeah. Right? Just the different energy and the
some
different.
Some of them they'll push around.
Yeah.
Move out of the way. Mm-hmm. Some of them they like, you know, I don't need the cookies. And others, there was one, and it was really funny because she was, he respected her boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came around the back and got it. And she looked at him and she says, you know, that's exactly what happens in my life. I will say no and people find a back door.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And he only did that to her.
Yeah.
So they just pick up
On your weaknesses and on your powerfulness, your strengths. They can pick that up. And
you know, some people, I've had clients where they can't believe that they can do this, but I'll say, well, you need to just move that horse backwards. Don't touch him.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. And it can happen.
You have that energy. Yeah. Now, take that energy. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that you have that feeling and power in you, what if you could replicate that when you go out and negotiate?
Yeah.
What if you could replicate that when you have...
Because it's another being. It's a living soul. Whoever it is that you're talking to or around. And it is funny that some people can just do that.
Yeah.
And they can move mountains. And people are how did they do that?
It's all the energy. We are all animals on that level. I get all kind of...
No, we are. Absolutely.
And we have those innate senses.
Mm-hmm.
We have just learned to turn them down. And if we could redevelop that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just happen to think horses are the way to do it. But there's other ways to do it. But it's just so important to get out in nature. Get outside and get in touch with the world around us.
I feel like I could just go to your ranch right now and do this because I'm so excited. But I do want you to kind of talk a little bit about, when you got into this. You said that you left the corporate world like in your 40s or 40. So that, like, how did you go backwards into 30? How did you do this? Because you don't look like you're over 40.
Well, when
so
you're 54,
I can't, you crazy. Is what is it? What's the secret?
I don't have children.
Oh. You know what? They say that is the secret.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a few friends with no kids. They look 10 years younger than me.
You, living with horses is not.
But you do. I was going to say you do. Their poops are bigger.
Yeah,
they eat more food.
Over here, even when I was driving to come to see you today, I'm thinking, I think I left a gate open, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it's not without stress.
Absolutely.
I had wanted to do this since the beginning. I'd been wanting to do it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I got my horse while I was still in corporate.
Mm-hmm.
But the desire for the ranch didn't come till I became an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know where this podcast is, it could be all over the world, but we're in the Vancouver area, so you know what real estate is.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
So I decided that I wanted to get a ranch or a farm, but I couldn't even get my head around it.
Yeah, well, you didn't win the lottery, no big inheritance coming in, so you got to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
I had a very successful corporate career, I will give credit where credit is due. I was able to pay off the house.
Yeah, wow.
And I was at that point in my life where... A lot of people's opinions would be, okay, this is, you've made it.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your life. Don't do anything silly. But this is inside me so strong.
Yes. You got to follow that.
And so I went from no mortgage to a mortgage. Oh. Never in a million years could get my head around. 48.
Yeah. At 48.
You know?
Yeah. There's people that are that age now that are like, oh, is it even worth getting a hog? Is it worth doing this or that or whatever?
I went back and got my certification at 47, and that was a 3-year process.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I had my coaching certification. You gotta understand, I went to school at night for 10 years to get my CGA. Right? And I actually gave that up because they had all these rules on what kind of business I could have. So after 10 years of school and 10 years of career, and this was my plan. So anybody's listening? So they basically told me I could not run the business the way I wanted to and keep my CGA.
You gave it up after all that.
I had to send back my certificates. Mm-hmm. I had to resign.
Yeah.
And I remember taking them.
That's got to be hard.
Out of the frame.
Yeah.
Crying.
But you knew that the reward was going to be bigger than this. The sadness that you had that one point.
I was like, well, they can have their letters, but I've got my life.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that was one of my first big moves that I did. It was before I bought the ranch. Mm-hmm. It was, that was about 4 years before I bought the ranch. And this dream just would not go away.
Mm-hmm.
And my poor husband, I mean, he's had to go along with all my crazy plans.
How long have you guys been married?
26 years.
Oh, yeah. So you guys, he knows you from... From the beginning there.
We have no mortgage.
Yeah.
We have no debt.
Yeah.
We have
let's go get a big let's go get into debt.
Let's have travel. Let's go from one horse to four and buy a farm.
And he went along.
Yeah.
That's a special man.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, you guys are both lucky we have each other.
But the thing is, Arian, is I firmly believe that if it's calling you, you're mm-hmm. capable.
Abso-frickin-lutely. I agree.
And you will spend the rest of your life wondering what if.
Mm-hmm.
You can always make more money. It doesn't matter how old you
are. Money comes and goes. I say that all the time. There's down here sometimes, up here.
And we are not.
We're not here just to make money. We're here to follow our hearts.
Exactly.
And
we're not over the hill. We're not done.
Oh, yeah. 48 is anybody who's 60 or 70 is going to say, you're still young. It's all relative and very subjective.
And even now in my 50s, mm-hmm. I'm looking at other ways to like expand and do things and expand myself because it's not over. And I, this is one of the hills I'll die on. It's like, we are not the Golden Girls for Sex and the City, right?
Absolutely.
Age, it's
perception. Isn't that funny? Right? I just saw that. I just saw somebody said, these are the Golden Girls at 50, at your age, 54, 55, or whatever.
I'm as old as Rose right now. I'm just telling you.
I mean, like, the haircut, come on. Yeah. Like, that's got to... Anyways, I looked at that yesterday, and I was like, oh, yeah.
So I think it's one of those things that if you have the calling, you have the capability.
Yeah, absolutely.
You might not... know what that capability mm-hmm. is, and here's the thing, you haven't done it, so of mm-hmm. course you're not good at it.
Totally.
Like, let's be real.
Totally.
I hadn't.
So this whole podcast is like for me. I have never done it. I don't know. You're my first person. It's probably going to be glitches everywhere.
So how can you be good at it until you've done it?
You just got to practice and keep on going and just do it. Next step.
I've gone from being like afraid of my own horror to having almost 14 different ones come. I've boarded two babies, and I remember one day the baby got her foot caught in a net, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to die today, right? So I've dealt with that.
Yeah.
I've dealt with a horse getting an arterial bleed and having to triage that and do first aid on site. I've had to deal with cast horses, pellet horses, broken fences. I've got a rescue.
You learn all of this on the job.
Behavioral issues. And, you know, that person who was really scared of her horse could not have done any of this.
Yeah.
And my rescue, when I think back to the fact that I was scared of horses, I mean, she's a handful. And so when she works with people, it's over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason she's a handful. She's had a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the type of horse that ends up euthanized on the back of a meat truck.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And... we're able to work with her, and I'm able to work with a horse that scares a lot of people that had got rescued and got sent back mm-hmm. that was recommended with trainers saying mm-hmm. this horse has not got
is not able to,
and here I am like just walk around her, right?
Like,
so I wasn't good at that. I never would have gone near a horse like that
and
now I'm like I can work with her and deal with her, and I'm not remotely afraid of her.
Yeah.
So I think it's just we have to realize as we go through life, if it's calling us, we're capable. Just mm-hmm. because we're not capable now
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean we're not capable mm-hmm. of being capable.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you're not capable of taking that first step, whatever the first step is. And then you just immediately do the next step, and you do the next step and until you are capable.
And then when you get there...
Another door opens. Yeah. Another door opens. You meet new people. And having the support. Do you have a support group around you besides your husband? Like,
Well, I have my husband. I've always had coaches that mm-hmm. I work with. And then I do have a barn manager that comes and helps me. And I have the whole equine community. Because you can't... Horses, it takes a village. You know, like that time my horse had the arterial bleed. Like, I needed help. I'm doing that. So she's coming over and she's calling out the vets and arranging trailer while I'm doing... So you have to...
Mm-hmm.
And that was just from him playing and being stupid.
Yeah.
It just happens. You have people that, mm-hmm. that help you. And obviously, if I want to travel or do anything,
yeah.
I need
you. You need that help.
There's always a community yeah. there.
Oh, that's yeah. I'd always see the horse community just on the community pages and stuff. And someone's asking, hey, I need this. Or does anybody have this? Or and it just looks like such a tight support group.
Well, and it's funny because you don't even need to know somebody else, but if somebody's having trouble with the horse and you're available, you just
yeah, you just do it.
Rules.
Yeah,
it's kind of like I'll just help.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
it's the same
yeah. Thing. You wave, you see a horse person ride, you wave. You see anybody, yeah. you know, on the boat, wave.
We don't have a trailer, and you know, I've had somebody that's helped me through a couple of emergencies with trailers. Mm-hmm. But if she wasn't available, all I would have to do is go into some of the neighborhood groups and say,
yeah,
does someone have a trailer?
And you'd get help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's and that actually probably comes from being a part of, you know, the community that you are in. Yeah. And I feel like it's maybe, I don't know if it's like that all over the world, but we do live in a small community, Maple Ridge, Pitt Meadows,
yeah.
and beyond. Yeah. But that's, you know, it's a small town, small, it's still a small town vibe, it even totally though it's is. Getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So,
yeah,
totally have support. You can't, and you know, and it. Again, mine just happens to be horses, but mm-hmm. I think for anybody, you know, when you're putting your dream forward, like, don't do it alone. Like, get that you need.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the right community.
It is out there. Find that people, if when they give support, mm-hmm. you know, people want to help. When yeah. like you said, when you post something and say, hey, I need this, people want to help.
Yes.
So when you ask for something, and I always feel like, just don't be shy, because people want to help, and it actually makes them feel good.
Yes.
It's like you're doing them a favor.
Yes, totally.
They're doing you a favor, but you're yeah. doing them a favor. And then it's like a win-win situation.
Yeah.
And I do feel like younger, they have a little bit of a tough time doing that. But as you get older and you realize, I don't got nothing to lose. I need help, or I need this. I'm going to go out and reach for it. And you know, you find that as you get older, you live and you learn.
Yeah.
And so now you're 54.
Well, not yet. I will be.
You're 53, and you're 50.
Maybe
and
when someone's watching this, I am.
You maybe will be. But still, you and then you kind of started over at like 48.
Yeah.
And you got where you are now, and you are an incredible soul. I'm assuming that you were an incredible soul then as well, because this led you to this. Mm-hmm. And would you have done anything different?
Not really.
No.
I think the only thing I would have done different is, well, actually, no, I'm going to take that back, because mm-hmm. everything you do in life is getting you ready to set yourself up.
To lead you to the next thing.
I think just for me with my horse piece, though, I would have maybe got help a little sooner with my fears,
mm-hmm.
probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I would have done differently.
I'm
certified in NLP, and I remember when I went to do the certification,
mm-hmm.
so if anybody that's ever done a coaching certification would know that you work, you have to coach and be coached.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at this like 12-day training, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get all kinds of NLP out of this. Right? And so, because I paid for it to be there.
Yeah.
I wanted
yeah.
to take
yeah.
this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was every time we had an exercise to work on,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I need to work on this with my horse.
Yeah.
I need to work on this.
Yeah.
I need to, so they do things like collapsing anchors or belief change or,
mm-hmm.
All the different things,
mm-hmm.
Or phobia fixes. So I went to everything that had ever scared me. So could I do something different? If I had known about that sooner,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have done
yeah.
it sooner.
Because yeah.
I loved my horse.
Mm-hmm.
I loved my horse.
Mm-hmm.
I was just scared of him.
I think that what you said right there is exactly how a lot of people who have taken the harder road and not gotten help sooner. And I feel even in my photography business, just getting a mentor or even just getting any kind of help with any, I never wanted help. I was always going to do it myself. So 17 years later, I could have knocked 7 years off
yeah.
of there if
yeah.
I had just been like reaching out. I was always helping other people,
mm-hmm.
but I was too, I don't know if it was too proud or too busy or too, what was wrong?
Yeah.
Probably more too proud mm-hmm. and been like, I can figure this out. But now it's like, oh my goodness, just ask it that,
yeah.
you know, you'll shorten that learning
yeah.
gap. You know, substantially.
I had a lot of help with the horse, but
mm-hmm.
it wasn't the help I needed.
Yeah.
My mind.
Well, yeah, that, right? yeah, the actual hands-on help, wonderful,
yeah.
but the help up here, it's that, yeah, it's not like, oh, I wish I would have hired a cleaner.
Yeah.
No, it's like get me out of this, get me out of my head, you know?
The other thing I think, if I was going to go back and do it differently, and I think this is really important for people to think about, is sometimes we have people in our lives that mean well, but are not going to get us to where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
one of the coaches that I had with my horses, like the actual horse coach,
mm-hmm.
very well-intentioned, nice lady, but she had a different value system than I did. And mm-hmm. so some of the things she taught were not things that aligned with me. And I had to become more of an advocate for my horse. And I had to step out of what was comfortable, because mm-hmm. there's the community and the acceptance mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to go follow what I knew mm-hmm. and get the right support that aligned with me and who I was.
Right, yeah.
And that was, it was really, really scary to do that. And it was one of the best things I did. If I could have done that sooner. So I would tell anybody, you know, if you're thinking about like, okay, this is, I have this, but it's not the right support, or the support is hindering me. Mm-hmm. You move it,
get it out of your way. Oh, that's an interesting one too. I know you've talked about the business, but like, what is the name of your business? What do you specifically, like, I know you have a workshop coming up now, that or a retreat, but that's going to be gone by the time we air this or done.
My two big retreats that are coming up this summer, they're mm-hmm. all about realigning yourself to step into your purpose.
Okay.
So we're going to be working on that theme. That ties in with leadership, because you can't really step out in your purpose if you're afraid to be a leader. There's two mm-hmm. aspects to that. Mm-hmm. There will be a lot of the reflective work to get the clarity mm-hmm. on what they want to do, how they want to go up with it. We're going to do a lot of the reflective work, but there'll also be a lot of leading work mm-hmm. to help them step into their leadership, understand what that energetic piece is, mm-hmm. so that they can really master their leadership. So it's to get clarity and be a leader mm-hmm. in what you want to do. So mm-hmm. you walk out of there with that level of clarity, mastering your leadership skills, and having a go forward plan. That would be one of them.
Yeah.
A simpler workshop, if we were going to do a boundaries workshop, mm-hmm. you know, that would be like a couple hour thing where you'd mm-hmm. have a few ladies. We would do the thing with the thing in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
But what basically everyone's going to learn is like, well, how they're being perceived with their boundaries, mm-hmm. to learn to strengthen mm-hmm. those boundaries. Those energetic boundaries.
Yeah.
And to have that.
That's something that we need to learn a little bit younger. I mean, people are learning it now in their 40s and 50s and 60s, but I think that's a great thing to learn when you're 20s.
Yes.
What your boundaries are, what is going to protect you and yourself and your business and your family.
Because I think boundaries, that's one of the things I work on the most with people, whether mm-hmm. that's what they come to me for mm-hmm. or not. Because mm-hmm. it comes up in some
Yeah, it's a another. Huge thing.
Because that feeling comes up inside that you're going to really upset somebody else. We're mm-hmm. always worried about how our boundaries going to land.
Yeah.
And then when we set the boundary mm-hmm. from that perspective, mm-hmm. you're setting the boundary from a triggered place.
Right.
Because somebody's already crossed it. That's why you get mm-hmm. upset. Mm-hmm. So when you can actually learn how to have those boundaries mm-hmm. so that you don't even need to set them. People mm-hmm. just get them.
They just get them. Yeah.
That comes energetically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's not coming from a triggered place. It's coming from like, that's just, mm-hmm. this is just who I am. Because, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. you know, like if you think about it, there might be people... think in any group that they need a favor. It's like, well, I'm not going to ask them.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
It's just not their thing. They've never even had
said anything. They're just have already set those boundaries, however you know.
And nobody's upset. Just kind of know that's not a go for them. So that's, those are the type of boundaries, like mm-hmm. in a boundary workshop, you can learn to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and you'll learn it with the horse. Like if the horse suddenly starts coming into your space and you have to push him away, you're doing it from a triggered spot. Wait. Nobody feels
it. You're reacting. Right?
If you are the boundary, they actually like it. Mm. They know the limits.
Yeah.
So that would be one of them.
Oh, I love that one.
Communication or teamwork. A teamwork where you're trying to, you'll have a team get together, and if they're going to have a task to move the horse or get them through an obstacle, and everybody has, and there's so many different ways you can set the exercise
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not that important whether they move the horse or not. Mm-hmm. What we work on is how are they actually working together. And you see that. And this is where the masks come down.
Mm-hmm.
A mentor of mine had an expression about catching somebody's energy in action. When we're just with people, sometimes we can try to hold it together and mm-hmm. then have that mask up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not effective.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're with a horse and they move quickly or you get scared, it comes down.
Yeah.
You actually see.
Yeah.
What's behind the mask.
And yeah.
So you learn how to work together without mm-hmm. the masks.
Yeah.
In a productive way.
Oh my, it sounds like there is a workshop for literally everyone. So when I say who's it for, there's not a person that this wouldn't be good for.
Yeah.
Unless it's someone who's very closed off and believes that they're already perfect and they don't have anything to work on. Those are the people that need it the most. But the people that are open to this is literally everyone that wants to be better.
If somebody's coming to me because they have trauma or grief or something mm-hmm. like that, I can't, that's not my...
You will guide them to the whoever it is.
I do believe that working with a horse in that capacity mm-hmm. is really going to help them heal.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have that kind of training.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I say everybody, it's...
But for horses in general, the equine training or coaching is good for everyone. But what you do is more the business and leadership and for men and women.
Primarily women.
Mostly women. Yeah. What is the name? It was the Prosperous...
The Prosperous Woman Company is my actual business.
The Prosperous Woman,
the ranch is... Believancy Ranch is our facility.
Is there anything else that you would like to add today?
Well, I think just if I could leave people with one thought. It's like, you know, you're never too old. Never too old. It's never too late. And if you're called, you're capable.
I love that. I love that. If you're called, you're capable. Yeah, that is amazing. Thank you so much for spending time with me on my first podcast with you. And and we're going to do our portrait session coming up at the ranch. So that's all part of this. And I can't wait to do that. I think that's going to be less nerve-wracking. But I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing and your business. And I'm so glad that we connected. I'm going to put all the information in the show notes so that we can find you and connect with you. If there's anything that anybody wants to ask you or to join one of the retreats or the workshops. It's for anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me as your first guest. Oh my goodness. So excited to hear everybody else's.
So we got lots coming up. And thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you guys if you're listening. Okay. All right. Bye.